Thank you. Good morning out there. Happy to be here. Happy feast. I hope you're having a happy time. I hope so. And I hope we continue throughout the feast. But more than that, for the rest of your journey. I don't know how many of you was inspired by that message yesterday by Mr. Victor Kubik, our president, but I know him pretty well. So when I saw him, I said, well, that's him. That's the way he is all the time. And I think that we all need to get a little fire in our belt. My message today is to address you and deliver to you a message that I believe is very, very, and more than that, important. And I hope that you will take it that way. Or else, I will have to submit to the one who helped me to get it together so that I can deliver it. Here we are at the middle of the Feast of Tabernacles. The very middle of it. This is symbolic of the time when we have overcome and will be with our Father in His family, Jesus Christ. Can you fathom that? Do you consider that you are now in preparation for that? And do you focus on it as you should? The title of this message is, How Do We Bear Our Cross? That's the subject. We all have a cross to bear. How do we do it? Here I am standing before you to address you and me with this message. Can I say anything to you that you have not already heard? That you don't already know? Can I? In this message, can I say anything to help us to really come out of this evil, sinful, satanic world and become a follower of Jesus Christ? That's my task. And I have only a short time to try to do that, so I'm going to ask you to do something. Take note of everything, because it's only a smidget to the introduction. You see, for me to do that, I have to rely on someone else to tell me what to say. And that someone have put it down and the books I hope you all have with you. And so as I usually say, turn to this page. I know some of the messages may be up there, but I want you to see where it is in your Bible. I want you to be able to focus on where it is, because around all of those things that I will tell you is a scenario. And I'll just pick out something in the middle because I don't have time to go through all of it. And so therefore, I want you to go back and put it together. And God is the one that's going to judge you on it, not me. So let's start. Matthew chapter 16. Will you turn there, please? To do what I must do, I must focus on what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said. That is, I'm talking about the Son of God, the God Almighty. And to do so, I must use what He says in His words that tell us, you and me, how to get from where we are into His very family. Let's look at it. It's three steps that He will give you in this one verse. That's verse 24. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Let's read it. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples. Now, if you are here not being a disciple of Jesus Christ, he is not saying this to you. But if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, he is saying it to you, and he's saying it to me even more. Notice what he says. If any man, that's mankind, will come after me, let him deny himself. You hear that? Let him deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. That's what Jesus Christ said. And I think he meant it. What is the word deny here? According to the Greek, it's number 533. I won't bother with speaking Greek to you, because if I do, I won't know what I'm saying. But I will try to tell you what it means. To deny utterly. Disown the self. Remove, be removed from the self. Depart from the self. Be separated from the self. Webster says it this way. He says, refuse the self. Declare that the self is untrue. Contradict the self. Let me ask you this question. How many of us consider that for ourselves? Is this the way we treat ourselves? I ask you that question. But now Jesus Christ says we ought to do that. Are we doing it? And he said he would set it to his disciples, which we all should be. That is the example that he said. You notice in that there was three steps, three things that we must do. First, deny the self, pick up our cross, and follow him. You see, you'll find that many people have had issues with that. But why would Jesus Christ say, do that? Let's find out one of the reasons why he tells us to do that. Turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 2. Now, you know what happened in Genesis chapter 1 when Jesus Christ and his Father decided that they would create mankind, and he gave all the instruction. But notice what he says in chapter 2. We'll pick it up in verse 7. Verse 7 of chapter 2. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. And man, that is mankind, became a living soul. Verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man, or mankind, whom he had formed. So God took the man and the woman and placed them in a garden. That means that they were in something more or less surrounded, so that they were in that garden. This was inside the world, but the world was shut out from that garden, except for one thing. You know what happened there, right? As he went and they lived in there, they were given choices. They were given choices. And something occurred in that garden. Now, we have been called and placed within his congregations. And we too have choices. We too have choices. But you know, the same thing that troubled Adam and Eve is still kicking and doing a good job of his duty. We pick it up in verse 1. It says this. And that's chapter 3, verse 1 of Genesis. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field
which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Yea, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden?" You know, we are told to do certain things, right? And then you hear in the world, people say, you don't have to do all of that. I mean, you don't have to go to service. You're not commanded to be at service every day, every Sabbath. You're not. I mean, you can watch it on simulcast. Yeah. You can look it up later. And all of these kinds of things. And Satan motivates and try to get you to not be here. Think about all the things that can go astray that the world is teaching that we are not supposed to do. Okay, let's go on. And you know what happened. And as he continued, finally, I don't know where Adam was. I think he was right there with his wife Eve. But he was sitting there like most men today. And you know what happened? Who speaks up? Huh? The woman. And she says, "Hey, I know she told Satan what was what." Yeah. Now, but what was going on at this point? Let me ask you that question. Well, let me tell you what was going on. Turn with me, if you will, to James chapter 1. We'll look at a couple of verses there. But hold your places here in Genesis, because we'll come right back to it. But in James chapter 1, we'll read what is going on at this point. In James chapter 1, we'll pick it up in verse 12. In verse 12, we have this. "Blessed is the man that endures temptation." How do we do it? "For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that what? Oh, love him." And to love God, you gotta obey him. You read that in another place, first John chapter 5, the first 3 verses. But notice this. "Let no man say when he is tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man." So in this conversation, in this dialogue back there, God was not in it. He was there, but he was not there in the conversation. And so, what was happening? "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his" what? What does it say up there and in your Bible? "Of his own lust. And entice." So, I want you to know, which I have just found out recently, my own lust entices me. I don't know about you. I'm sure yours don't do that. But it entices me. But that's what the scripture says. Now, I didn't say that on my own. "Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth" what? "Sin. And when sin is finished, it brings forth death." Now, I submit to you that if you are allowing this to happen to you, you will not be in God's kingdom. That's what the scripture just told you. Turn with me again, 1 John chapter 2. Let's see something else in here. Maybe this will help. 1 John 2, and we'll pick it up in verse 16. 1 John 2, 16 says, "For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It is not of the Father, but is of the world." So are we following Jesus Christ, or are we following the world? We know what happened to the world. Verse 17 says, for the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. That's why I bring this message. I think that we all should abide forever. But what did man do? Oh, better yet, what do we do with the temptations of this world? Let's go back over and see what happened. In Genesis chapter 3, we're going to pick it up where we stopped off before. And this is in verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, yes, it was, and that it was pleasant to the eye, what did she do? She took of it. Yes, she did. She liked it. And so much so, she gave it to her husband, and her husband says, I like it too. But what happened? What did they do? They sold out themselves to Satan the devil. And they have passed that down to you and me. So that now, with ourselves, who owns it? Christ says what? You've got to deny that self in love and compassion. You've got to deny that self. Are we doing it? Are we accepting what Jesus Christ tells us to do, or are we accepting everything else? Because you see, in the world, everything else has another God, that's Satan the devil. But turn with me, if you will, to Jeremiah chapter 17. I'll tell you another thing. And I'm sure you're ahead of me at this point. Jeremiah chapter 17, you know where I'm going. This is something that Satan put into that self of ours back there in that garden that been passed down to us and that we really always work on. Verse 9, it says this. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, tell me, do you believe this scripture? It says that my heart, and I hope you realize it's your heart too, if it's that way, why? You see why Christ says you must deny that self that you got? Turn over with me another place. Jeremiah 10. We'll read there starting in verse 23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man to direct his steps. Do you accept that? Or do you know what you know and no one else is going to change you? Do you? Well, let's look at something that Jesus Christ was asked. And this was back in Luke chapter 18. In Luke chapter 18, there was a rich young man. Well, there was a ruler in that time. You know, a ruler is up there. You know, he's got all the authority and all that. He's a ruler. And so he had an issue that he had come up with that troubled him. And so he found the one that seemed to have all the answers, and he asked him that question. Now, that's Luke chapter 18. We'll pick it up in verse 18 and see what's happened here. Notice it, Luke 18 and verse 18. And a certain ruler asked him, that is Jesus Christ, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? That is the question. We all want to do it. That's why we are here, I hope. That's why we are here. What shall I do? But guess what? He had what within him? was passed down from his descendants, Adam and Eve. We just read it. Well, Christ in mercy and compassion replied. Verse 19. And Jesus said to him, "Why call you me good?" Now, we say it all the time. Oh, this is good, this is good, this is good. Save, there is none good, save one, and that is God. And I present to you this fact. In the world, there is none good except the one that's obeying God. You see, the tree of good and evil both leads to what? Can I hear it? To death. So our good and evil will have no effect on us making it into the kingdom. So that's what he addressed. Now look what he told him. You know the commandments, and I hope all of you do. Do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not kill, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother. You all know that. Will your answer be the same as the ruler's answer? The ruler says, in verse 21, he says, "All these things I have kept from my youth." Now, there are some of us here that was born into the church. And that's good. And there are some of us have been baptized later. But I ask you this question. Can you say what this ruler did? That if you were born into the church, you have kept God's commandments. Or, since your baptism, you have kept God's commandments and his law. That's what he said. And you know, Jesus did not deny him. He did not answer and say that, "Oh no, you haven't." He didn't say that. But you see, what happened is, because he had kept the commandments, there was still something missing. What was it? Jesus, and compassion, said to him, "Yet you lack one thing. Sell all that you have, distribute it to the poor, and you shall have treasures in heaven. Come and follow me." Now, are you willing to give up everything that you already know that's important to you and to follow Jesus Christ? There are some have given up jobs. There are some have given up families. There are some that have given up, but is that everything? You got to give up everything, is what Jesus Christ says. But you see, this man here was keeping the commandments. He was keeping the law. He was keeping the statutes. Maybe we could say, well, you know, he didn't have the Holy Spirit. Is that the problem? Would that solve it? Let's turn over to another place here and back to Matthew chapter 16 and look at something else here. We want to look at something else that we should focus on. We'll pick it up this time. This is Matthew 16. We'll pick it up in verse 13. Let's read what's going on here. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea and Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that the Son of Man is?" Now, sometimes people, we know that they don't quite know Jesus Christ, right, and all this. And we can say all the things that they say. But then Jesus says, okay, then point blank, "Who do you?" Sitting in those seats out there. "Who do you say Jesus Christ is?" Hey, he's saying that to me standing here too. "Who do you..." Well, notice what happened. Peter answered, "So you're the Son of God." How could Peter know that? Jesus told him. He was told that he knew it because of the Spirit of God, or that God had directed it and put it in his mind. So the Holy Spirit now puts things in our mind to help us with the answers. Yes. But does that fill the bill?
That's the question.
Does it? Well, if that filled the bill, we should continue to reading. Let's read a little bit farther here. We'll drop down to verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus Christ to show his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed and raised from the dead on the third day. Do you think the disciples at that time wanted to hear that? That their leaders were going to be taken and killed and put in the grave? What do we do when we hear things that we don't like? Or when we see things that we don't like? How do we treat it? How do we handle it? I think most of the time we kind of say things that not too appropriate to be a Christian. I know I do. And I've heard it said from other people too. But that's what he was doing. Verse 20. Peter took him and began to rebuke him. He was rebuking his creator. That's what he was doing. And told him that would happen. He was not going to let it. Because he got more power than his creator. Man, how many times are we guilty of that? Well, Christ said something to him here. And I think it's to us, each time when we fly off the handle, we should hear this ring out, and the Holy Spirit will do it if we allow it. But he, Jesus Christ, turned and said to Peter, "Get you behind me, Satan." A few minutes ago, it was the Spirit of God. And now Peter is called Satan, the devil, with his action. Do you think that is happening to us today? You see, I said that it's something that we need to hear and focus on. Well, Christ said here, "You're offense to me." Do we consider ourselves when we spot off being an offense to God and to Christ? Yeah. Why was he offense to it? Because he savored the things of mankind rather than that of God. And you know, I'm guilty of that. I don't know about you, but I am. And I'm not ashamed to admit it, because my whole thing is to try to repent of it. And so when it happened, instead of me being ashamed, I try to do what? Repent of it. Then Christ, in compassion and love, said. He goes on and says, "For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it." Again, you see what it takes to find that life. "For what is a man profit if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" So, we've got to deny that self that Satan has gotten control of in our personal lives. We've got to. And then we have to pick up our cross and follow Jesus Christ. Now, what is this cross business? This cross is symbolic of death. So that all those evil thoughts that we are confronted with and the things that come our way that is not of Christ, we have to put it to death. That's all. We put it to death daily. And it's going to keep coming as long as you're in this evil, sinful world. We must put those things to death just like the cross. And then doing that, we will be able to follow Jesus Christ according to the way Jesus Christ has said it. Now, what will happen if he doesn't, if we don't do that? Let me show you something. Matthew chapter 26. I'm sure you're familiar with this. Matthew chapter 26. You see, we all have said this. We'll read verse 24, starting there. Matthew 26. Now the Son of Man goes. I'm going to write. Matthew 26. Let's pick it up in verse 31. Better get over there so I can get finished. Then said Jesus, all of you shall be offended because of me this night. As it is written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. Have we seen that? But after I am risen again, I will go to Galilee. He said that. Now let's drop over here to verse 35. If you read on down through there, you'll see that again, Peter didn't want to hear what was going to go on here. Peter said to him in verse 35, though you should die with, I should die with you, yet will I not deny you. No. Likewise, all of the other disciples said that. Now, I think that if you would just ask almost anyone in here, will you deny Jesus Christ? We'll tell them what? No. No, we won't do that. But what happens when it gets right down to the nitty-gritty? Are you prepared enough to stand up? Let's look at it. Matthew 26, we'll pick it up in verse 55. This time, verse 55. At that same hour said Jesus to the multitude, are you come out against the thief as with a sword and staves for to take me? I sat with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hands on me. See, I'm standing out here now. Nobody's bothering me. Nobody's bothering you. It's easy, right? But see, this time they was taking the master away. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. How many people neglect the Old Testament where the prophets are written most of the time? And relate them to what the New Testament says, how they fit together. But all his disciples, when they came and they took Jesus Christ, what happened? Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Have you seen that? It's going to get worse. Will you join the flee? Are you preparing yourself well enough to withstand it? That's what we heard from Mr. Kubik yesterday. And we've been hearing it here at this feast. It's because we want all of us to do what? Endure until the very end. The original disciples had not focused on this well enough, even though they could utilize the Holy Spirit. We have had the Holy Spirit. We say we are His disciples. We know the commandments. We have had the Holy Spirit work with us. But I have just shown you what that will do. Why? We fail to deny ourselves. You see, we try to keep the commandment with what? Ourselves. According to ourselves. We try to use the Holy Spirit with ourselves. According to ourselves. But that self that we got basically is ruled by whom? Satan, the devil. We forget what's going on most of the time. The disciples finally learned that. And what did they say and what did they show after they learned it? Now, we have been called. Can we make that change? We are told to deny the self, take up our cross, and that's everything that comes before you and before your life. That's your cross. And with that, you put it to death and use the new way of life. Jesus Christ says, deny that self. The disciple says, repent of that self. And when we do, we can do like the disciple says in Acts 5, verse 29. We have heard this already before. I'll just read the highlight of it since we have heard it before. It says that we must obey God rather than man. And I think each of us represent mankind. So that means we have to obey God rather than ourselves. That is why Jesus Christ tells us to deny the self. And after we do that, we do it because we have been bought with a price. We have been bought with a price. And if we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and chapter 7, both say the same thing. I'll just read one of them. In chapter 7, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we have this. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God. It belongs to Him. We are bought with a price. It says that again in in chapter 7. And then we know from there, as you look at Colossians chapter 3, it says, set your mind on things above, not on this earth, not on this world. And then in Philippians, it tells us what? We should have the mind of Jesus Christ. But to do that, we got to first get rid of something. That is the old self that Satan, the devil, has gotten control over because Adam and Eve sold it out. He sold it out. And we know that first Adam does what? It leads to sin and death. But there's a second Adam. You see, if you get rid of that first Adam, you can also receive then the second Adam. You read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Read it sometime. Study God's Word. And when you study them according to your problems. It's good to look at all the rest of the things in history and what's going on over in Europe and all around the world. But the most important thing that you can do is look at your personal problems of how they affect you in serving God, in denying that first man, Adam, and taking on the second Adam and obeying God for the rest of our days. That's my challenge, and I present it also to you.